James chapter number 3 tonight. James chapter 3. You messing with the lights? What number did you push? 1. Okay. Get Naaman off the lights. We don't have changing anymore. Yeah, we're finished. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you don't have to stand there anymore. Amen. Great. Men hit them lights. James chapter number 3. All right. My brethren. James said we're 3 chapters in. Don't let me let y'all get confused by who I'm talking to. I'm still talking to saved folk. My brethren. Everybody say, my brethren. Be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Well, let's quit there. If I go to the next part, we'll never get out of here in the time you have already asked the Lord for me to stop preaching. So let's pray. Father, bless these few verses in the Bible. Now, if we could live out verses 1 and 2 of James, we can make a difference in this world. So help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self and fill me with your spirit. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. When we began the book of James, we really began with a biography of James. Who he was. He was a brother of the Lord and all that he had seen. We proceeded to deal with the subject that James was approaching in this book, which is spiritual maturity. And we summarized it with a theme of grow up. So in chapter number 1 and in chapter number 2, James, through his writings in this letter, has been trying to help us as believers grow up. How many of you would say, Pastor, I feel like in my Christian life, I'm growing up. Amen. That's a good thing. If it's not, you're going counterclockwise to the direction God wants you to go. God wants you to grow up. But as I spoke this morning, you may want to grow up, but you can't grow up your own way. You've got to grow up God's way. So if we really were to outline the book of James dealing with the subject of growing up, we proceeded with James's biography in the first verses or so, and we continued on really dealing with the Christian and his battles. We talked about trials. Trials are battles. How many of you know we go through battles? Say amen. So we dealt with the Christian and his battles. We went beyond there to deal with, later on in that chapter, the Christian and his Bible. Okay, so you've got battles, trials, but in trials you can count it all joy. Within the Christian and his Bible, we were born again into the family of God by the incorruptible word of God. Faith coming by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm thankful that in my battles, through spiritual maturity, I can count it all joy. But I'm also thankful that through my Bible, I can get into God's family. But not only get into God's family, I can look at myself through the mirror of the word of God. I can find out if I've got pure religion or phony religion, and the Bible will keep me growing up in the Lord. Chapter number 2, we really did with the Christian and his, dealt with the Christian and his beliefs. Faith without works is, talk to me now. Faith without works is, so we talked about dead faith, devilish faith, and dynamic faith. And the only one that automatically produces works is dynamic faith. Amen. Anything else is a counterfeit. So the reason why so many people struggle with religion is because they're trying to make their flesh do what their spirit has never become. Amen. But faith is a God thing. Faith is a spiritual thing. By the way, you hear the fruit of the Spirit. Nine I'm listed in Galatians. And by the way, they're not the fruits of the Spirit. They are the fruit of the Spirit. So they're not nine individual fruits. It is a body of fruit that the Holy Spirit produces. And whether he produces all nine or zero has nothing to do with the personality propensity that you have or the knack that you lean towards based on how you're wired. Whether the Spirit produces zero or nine is simply based on your yieldedness to the Holy Spirit of God. You got all or none of them. I've got three fruits I'm specializing in, and the others, no. You got all or none of them. If you're yielded to the Spirit, he produces all nine. If you're not yielded, he produces none. You may have some personality traits that give the appearance of one of those in that list. But only the Spirit of God can produce a supernatural demonstration of a God thing in your. Listen to me. If the fruit of the Spirit is a God thing, then the only way for you to live out a God thing is for God to do that thing through you. Amen. So we dealt with the Christian and his and beliefs in chapter number 2. And if we really were to categorize this next section, we'd probably call it the Christian and his behavior. So his battles, his Bible, his beliefs, his behavior. And we talked about this in Ephesians. Proper belief always produces proper behavior. Come on. So if you don't behave right, you don't believe right. And if you believe right, you ought to behave right. So tonight, just for a few moments, we're dealing with this behavioral issue with the child of God. And the subject matter is the tongue. Everybody, stick out your tongue. All right. So the subject matter is the tongue. Boy, there's this thing, this tongue is something else. Come on, say amen. This tongue is something else. And in the context of James, James is dealing with the growing believer, spiritually maturing, is someone who by the grace of God knows how to control his tongue. So for the next few weeks, just a little bit tonight, we're going to deal with the subject. Keep your tongue in check. Keep your tongue in check. Now understand, we are flowing thematically through the book of James. The last verse in chapter number 2 reads, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. Chapter number 3, my brethren. So please understand that the separation of chapters in the word of God was put there by the translators, but really the letter of James continues on. And when he finishes chapter 2 to say, your faith will produce works, he begins chapter 3 by saying, one of those works that your faith produces is controlling your tongue. So please don't separate chapter 2 and chapter number 3. Same author, same context, same believer. So if you were riding it in chapter 2, you can't get off in chapter 3. Because if you got real faith, according to chapter 2, then you're not afraid of dealing with your tongue in chapter 3. Now, let me give you just one thought tonight with several subpoints. First thought is, keep your tongue in check. Here's an important warning. My brethren, be not many masters. Help us, James. Remember, he's dealing with keeping your tongue in check. Here's the warning. In sign language, when you warn, you kind of slap on the wrist. So James is slapping us all on the wrist. Pay attention, Christian people. When it comes to the tongue, let me give you a warning. Be not many masters. If you're taking notes tonight, write down the word masters in the Greek is didaskalos, 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 didaskalos. Now, what it simply means is to be a teacher or a doctor. 58 times this term is used in the Old Testament. 31 times Jesus was addressed as master or teacher. And 8 times he called himself didaskalos. Now think about this. It refers to a teacher or a doctor. Here's what James is saying when it comes to the tongue. Christian people, be careful about always wanting to be a teacher. Why? Well, James, anticipating that question, answered it. That we shall receive the greater condemnation. If you're taking notes, the important warning is against excessive ambition. What do you mean excessive ambition? Always wanting to be in charge. Always wanting to be the boss. Always wanting to be the doctor or the teacher. Always wanting to be in front. Here's the danger of excessive ambition. With excessive ambition comes expected accountability. For they shall receive the greater damnation. Here's what James is saying. You know this is one of the areas where it might be better for you not to teach. Because when you decide to be the teacher, more is expected out of you. You're being watched. And people don't just expect you to tell them right. They expect you to show them right. And in that day, by the way, it was the policy in Jewish synagogues that if an intelligent teacher or doctor entered the assembly, he could get up and really have the green light to start teaching. By the way, this was a policy or tradition that the Lord Jesus himself took advantage of. You remember he just walked in the temple and got up and started speaking? You remember the Apostle Paul, he would go from city to city to city to city. And you read the book of Acts chapter 14, 15, you see him. He went to a city, the first thing he did, he went to the synagogue. He knew that at the synagogue, Jews would be there. He was a Jew who had been saved. He had a burden for his people. He was a minister to the Gentiles, but he never forgot where he came from. Somebody say amen. And every time he went to a town, he went to the synagogue. Hey, you'll find in each chapter, he went to the synagogue because he was looking for Jews. And he knew that if he got to the synagogue and he had some information, he could stand up there and start teaching. It's there, 13, 14, 15, Acts chapter 16. He went to the river. Why didn't he go to the synagogue? Because there wasn't a synagogue. And the tradition of Jews was when they didn't meet at the synagogue, they met at the river. So he went to the river looking for a chance to say something. But James knew that there were people who really took advantage of that custom and didn't belong up there. They were great preachers, but bad practicers. So we're going to deal with the tongue here. But James says, you might not want to stand up in front of the classroom on this one. Because instructors, when it comes to the Word of God, are not just supposed to be able to explain it. They're supposed to be able to live it. See, listen to me, beloved. Nobody in here is perfect. But when you want to let your ambition take you to assuming the role of teacher, you better get it right. And too many Christians want to teach. Come on. But they don't want to live. Particularly concerning the area of the tongue. Come on now. There are some well-intentioned believers in every church. Great servants. Great cooks. Some of them are great givers. They're great singers, great worshipers. Some of them are great soul winners. But they ain't too good with that tongue. James says, you might want to take a seat on this one. Because the moment you get up there lecturing, people are going to expect more out of you as a teacher than they did as a student. By the way, be careful when you're in a hurry to get in front. There's a reason why God causes you to be prepared before you perform. Amen. Amen. And there's a reason why Elisha spent 10 years pouring water on the hands of Elijah. There's a reason why David watched sheep before he killed giants. Come on. There's a reason why Daniel was doing good in Judah before he was blowing up in Babylon. Come on. There's a reason why Gideon was threshing wheat before he was leading the army against the Midianites. There's a reason why patience is a virtue. There's a reason why development is important. There's a reason why growth goes in stages. There's a reason why you start in the jail, you move to children's church, you may be at the nursing home, you may be at the homeless shelter, but it'll be a while before you get to a pulpit. There's a reason why. The Lord's looking out for you. He's trying to keep you from getting set up into standing up in front of people that are going to stare at you through a fishbowl when you ain't ready for it. Now, one more thought, and then you can enjoy your laborless Labor Day. There's an important warning, and then there's an informative word. For in many things we offend all. That is what I call an obvious point. How many of you know we offend a lot of people in a lot of areas? Say amen. How many of you have offended someone unintentionally? How many people have, you know, people have offended you unintentionally? How many of you people have been offended by someone intentionally? How many of you people have offended someone intentionally? Shame the devil. In many areas. And in many areas, not only do we offend everybody, but he's saying in many areas, all of us are guilty. That's what he's saying there. However, if you can control your tongue, I mean, it's like James is saying, let me put out a dare here. I mean, there are areas of our lives where all of us are just guilty of offending. But a man who offends not in word, not all these other areas, thought, deed, look. Anybody look that you have offended you? You might be too sensitive. But if any man look, any, look, not look, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man. And able to bridle the whole body. Wow. The obvious point is, in many areas, we're all offensive. And we're all guilty. But the overwhelming phenomenon is this. If you can avoid offending someone with your words, you can master every other area of Christianity. Wow. How many of you are people who like to step up to the challenge? People dare you, and that just makes you, oh, really? Huh. Oh, really? I play golf with a guy like that. Bet you can't get it there with that club. He's setting me up. He knows I can't do it, but he knows I'm going to step up to the challenge. Bloop, right in the water. Here's what James says. You can manage never to offend anybody with your words. You can control the whole body. You say, wow, James, thank you. Boy, if I can master the tongue in the Christian life, no other area in my Christian life will I ever have problems with. Guess what? You can't. Nobody that is a human being can avoid ever offending someone with the word. In other words, we will all mess up with our tongue at some time. But I wonder, and then I'm done. This obvious point. In some areas we all offend. This overwhelming phenomenon. But if you can control the tongue, you can control the whole body. I wonder if James, while he was writing this, was thinking about the only person. I grew up with a guy that could. Perhaps they shared rooms. Ate dinner together. When I muttered against Mama and Joseph. He didn't. I lost my temper. I said an unkind word. I told a white lie, half truth. You know what that is? A whole lie. He never did. I lost my temper. I gossiped. I ran somebody down. I demeaned somebody's character. I said the wrong word at the wrong time. I put my foot in my mouth. I wonder if James was thinking, I messed up, but I know a man that never did. For nearly all of his life, they grew up. They learned carpentry together. They listened to their parents together. And then at 30 years of age, that same man, James's brother, launched out into a public ministry. And for 3.5 years, he'd go preach in places where they'd follow him for his miracles and leave him for his messages. He would gather together 12 different men, 8 that did nothing, 3 that did most everything, 1 that ended up being a devil. And when he died, 1 denied him. They all forsook him. He would stand there being slapped by the high priest, mocked by the governor, belittled by the king, be riled by 2 thieves on both sides. He'd be accused by his own blood relatives, and never did he use his tongue the wrong way. That man was Jesus. Other than him, it ain't gonna happen. Because if you got a flesh, and we all do, you're gonna struggle with controlling your tongue. So for that reason alone, you ought to be listening to James chapter 3. Because in order to control this thing, you got to grow up. Now, between last week and this week, we all used our tongue improperly. Most between this morning service and tonight. And those that didn't mess up this afternoon, you will tonight. And you'll go back to God and say, I did it again. Well, I did it. I know I shouldn't have said that. You ever said, you know, words are things that you, once you say them, you wish you could get them back, and they're just floating away. And I'm going, oh. It's a spiritual matter. James is going to take these verses and talk about this thing called the tongue. In other words, he's saying, don't tell me you're maturing. Don't tell me you're growing up in the Lord. Don't tell me God's working on you and somehow he managed to skip over this area. No, if he's working on you, it'll show up in the mouth. It'll show up in the tongue. And until you're bridling this tongue, you still got growing up to do. Our Father, we are way too eager sometimes to be teachers. James says, be not many teachers. Might not be good for you to instruct on this one. Because once you stand before the class giving the instructions, you put yourself at a higher level of accountability. Help us, Lord. Help us to spend more time learning than we do trying to teach. Take my yoke upon you, Jesus said, and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly of heart. Work in our hearts to keep our tongues in check. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together.